Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte. This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles, just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
What's up, Rubbernecks? This is Billy Milano from SOD and MOD, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
This is Chris.
And Maria from In This Moment, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
All right. Hey, this is Chris from Lamb of God, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
Hello, this is Tony Iommi, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
This is John Schaefer from Iced Earth, and you are listening to Talking Metal.
Hi, this is Ozzy Osbourne, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
Yes, this is Jim Brewer, and you're listening to Talking Metal!
Hi, this is Ian Hill from Judas Priest, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
Hey, this is Vicio, you're rocking with Talking Metal!
Yo, ladies and gentlemen, this is Dave Windor from Monster Magnet, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
Excellent.
Talking Metal listeners, Astronomy and Striegel here at the 4L's Bar in Hoboken, New Jersey. Monster Magnet, Dave Wendorf, checked in with me on the live show a few weeks back. What a great guy. I've been a fan for so long. I realize his music is not maybe metal like some of you guys would consider metal, but it is hard rocking music with a lot of metal and punk influence and just amazing solid songs that I think just about anybody who enjoys true music can get into. The new record is Four-Way Diablo. It's in stores now. It's on iTunes now. Use those show links in today's notes. Before we get into the interview, let's check out a classic, Space Lord. How about that?
Space Lord, mother, mother.
I've been stuffed in your pocket for the last 100 days. When I don't get my bath, I take it out on the slaves. So grease up your baby for the ball on the hill. I'll polish them rockets now and swallow those pills and say, oh. Space
this long, mother, mother. There's a car in the field now in a column of flame, with two doors to choose, but only one bears your name. You've been drinking my blood, well, I've been licking your wounds. Well, I shave off the pitch now and the scope of your tune. You'll sing on.
Space Lord by Monster Magnet, the classic track, one of their bigger hits.
Yeah, I love that song. I always was a fan of Monster Magnet. I ran into Ed on the street a couple of times, and I actually got a Monster Magnet pick. And believe it or not, I ran into him more than once, which is pretty amazing to run into just somebody, you know, from a certain band in Manhattan. But it can happen. It definitely can happen. And I actually saw those guys at Roseland a couple years back.
Cool. I've seen him at Roseland. I've seen him at, remember the Academy on, what was that, 43rd Street?
Yeah. Is that where they show, or not show, but is that where Rent is right now?
I think it is, yeah. Yeah, I think so. Right. And I saw him there. I've seen them at Irving Plaza. A couple other times, too, I've seen them. They're such a great band, and... just honored again that Dave joined us on the show. I want you guys to go check this new record out. It's really good. There's a song called Wall of Fire that is just amazing. I also like another song. It's kind of a mellower, trippier song called I'm Calling You. Four-Way Diablo, the title track, rocks too. It's all good stuff. Let's get into actually that one of the trippier songs right now, I Am Calling You. And then we'll hear from Dave, and we'll end the song, or we'll end the show with two songs, Black Balloon, an old Monster Magnet, kind of obscure cut, if you will, amazing song, and we'll end today's show with the brand new song, Wall of Fire. If you could follow that, you're doing better than I am, because I have no idea what I just said. But anyways, this is I'm Calling You, and then we'll hear from Dave.
Yeah, and special thanks to Dave for coming on Talking Metal Live and now also on Talking Metal. I've been a fan forever, and once again, we're honored that you took the time out to give us a call and talk with us.
I'm Calling You by Monster Magnet.
Guess what? Dave is on the line with us. Jody, can you put Dave through? Hello, Dave.
Yeah.
It's Mark Striegel from Talking Metal. How are you?
I'm sorry I'm late, man.
Oh, no problem.
Sorry about that.
No problem. We just had a great block of Monster Magnet tracks.
Oh, cool.
So,
thank you.
That's always a good thing. But we are excited because today the new record came out.
Right
and
on.
We are talking with you. Four-Way Diablo. Am I pronouncing that right?
Yep.
How does it feel to be back with a new record and rocking once again?
It feels great, man. I mean, you know, I was, I love to make records. Yeah, I think it's my favorite thing to do is to write songs and turn them into records. It's a very, very fulfilling experience. You know, you go from nothing in your head to something, and then it's something even more when you bring it to more people, and then you mix it, and you're like, ah, it's like cooking breakfast.
Cool.
You know, it's like, look, I made dinner or I made breakfast. I love it, and I'm gonna do it for as long as I live. I love it.
Excellent. Well, I wanted to tell you, I went to the Virgin Megastore in the middle of Times Square here in New York City and was happy because they had it on the shelf and I bought a copy this morning.
Cool.
And it's always good because, you know, I've gone there on days CDs have been released and a lot of times don't find them. So I was happy that they had the new Monster Magnet stocked.
The whole record store thing is just such a mess. You know, the poor bastards. I don't blame them if they didn't have it, you know. I mean, these days I'm more concerned about whether it's on iTunes or not, whether it's in a record store.
And it is on iTunes, too,
cool.
Because I checked iTunes, I think, at about 9 o'clock this morning and it wasn't there. But then I went back later, actually, after I bought the physical copy of it. And
cool.
It was indeed up. And I've been a longtime fan of Monster Magnet. I've seen you guys with COC. I saw you do Irving Plaza, I think, which was the last time you were in New York, which was a while ago at this at this point. I'm guessing like 4 or 5 years ago. And
sounds like it to me.
Yeah. And actually hung out with you briefly at a Queens of the Stone Age show at Roseland. And
okay. And I remember the Queen show.
Yeah, you were hanging out there. And I'm just so excited you're back. And I want to ask you, as a fan, can we expect a tour?
Right now, I don't have any plans for a tour, dude. I'm like, I'm anti-tour.
Are you?
I'm not totally anti-tour, but I've got things I want to do. And there's a bunch of reasons why I want to tour. One is, I got addicted to sleeping pills the last time I toured.
Yes.
And, you know, I was touring for 15 years, and at the end of it, I was so, not burnt on touring, but burnt on not having the time to write the kind of stuff I wanted to do.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to just write music for one thing. I want to write music for several things, and prose also. I like to write.
Yeah.
I like to make, like I said. And I was... just going rock star nuts on the road, not doing drugs and drinking, but just staying up all night, chasing the women and loving it. But I couldn't do all that stuff at one time. And I found myself being more into the after the show thing than I was into the show thing, which is not good. And so I'd stay up all night and I needed time to sleep. And I was just, so I got sleeping pills from a doctor. And it all went horribly wrong.
Right.
Like really, really, really horribly wrong. And so I went down, OD'd on them, everything. Took me like 2 years to get my brain back from that horrible crap. Along the way, what got me there and from what I learned from it is that I'm just going to have to operate on the rules that I gave myself when I first started Monster Man. It was like, you do this thing while it's fun and you don't do it any longer. If it's not fun anymore, don't do it. You know what I mean? I mean, that was the rule in Monster Magnet for me. It was never, you know, try to be happy with something. It was like, you're either happy or you're not.
Yeah.
So what I'm really happy with is writing and stuff. So I'm going to stick with that for a while.
Cool.
Give me like 6 months, 8 months of writing more, and I'm sure somebody's going to come up and go, hey, you want to play? And I'll be like, yeah, I don't know what I was thinking. But right now, you know, it's like, hey.
Well, I've seen you numerous times through the years, and you will be missed by many on the stage.
Ah, cool. So. I mean, you know, by the select few of people that still appreciate live music, it's like live music's taking a hit.
Right. Oh, definitely. As is, you know, just CD sales and stuff in general. I mean, how
music is interpreted differently in a different way by people now. People interpret music, what they expect from music and what they get from music are different. It's different from what it was even 5 or 6 years ago.
Totally. Totally. Now, you talk about writing. Would you consider writing for other people, or are you just writing for yourself? Or?
Sure. You know, I just write. And, you know, I just get up in the morning and I think about stuff and I have a couple cups of coffee and I just start banging shit out. It'll be some music and then it'll be some, prose, you know, stories or whatever, lyrics, and then just ideas. And it's coming a lot, you know, like a crazy amount. I'd be stupid to stop it just to, you know, sell some T-shirts.
Right.
You know, so I'll write for anybody. Doesn't matter to me. I'm just like, you know, now, of course, I'm a limited writer. It's not like I'm Ernest Hemingway or anything in there. But yeah, I mean, if people needed songs, if someone would ask me to write songs for a band, if the band was cool enough or if the it seemed like it was the right thing, I would do it in a second.
Cool.
But it's fun.
And have you spoken with anybody about
collaborating? Not yet. You know, I'm putting stuff in the can. And, you know, I told my manager about this. And, you know, that's one thing about not being on a big record company. You know, I went indie, is that you don't get the connections that you used to get in those kind of situations. So it's going to take a little longer. I guess maybe I'll go out and aggressively pursue it, you know, pretty soon once I get a lot of stuff in the can. But right now I'm like working on a solo album, the next Monster Magnet record, and finishing up touches on this movie music that I wrote a couple years ago. And it's not for any film in particular, but it was for a film, and now I'm just going to finish that. And it's, you know, it's crazy shit with horns and, you know, spaghetti Western guitars and Black Sabbath riffs. And I got the lady from The Lion King to sing over it. You know, it's like insane.
Wow.
So this lady's like, singing over the top of it. And I don't know what to call it. It doesn't have any lyrics or anything, but it sounds really fucking cool. So I'm going to put it out.
Cool. Do you become aware of what an influence Monster Magnet has been on younger bands? I mean, I was talking with Billy from a band called Him.
Oh, I know Billy, yeah, very well.
And
yeah.
Just loves Monster Magnet to death.
He's a nice guy. We toured with him.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Yeah, we did. And, yeah, I mean, I'm nothing but flattered when that happens. You know, completely, completely flattered. Like, wow, you know, I would never dream in a million years that it would end up like this.
Right. Yeah, and even I remember even back in the day seeing guys like Matt Cameron from Soundgarden wearing Monster Magnet shirts. And
Matt, yeah, man. He's a good guy. Yeah, those guys love the band. They love Monster Magnet. Soundgarden helped us out immensely.
Now, what happened? You guys opened up for them, and that kind of opened some doors for you guys in the industry?
Yeah. It was, you know,
was that in Jersey?
No, they invited us on a tour.
Okay.
But yeah, well, and we did open up in Jersey. Yeah, we opened up at the Stone Pony, that other horrible place.
Fastlane,
yeah.
Yeah,
right. Okay. The horrible place. Yeah, we opened up for them, and it turns out those guys, they didn't even know we were on the bill, but they knew about us anyway. They, you know, they were into the indie scene and had tapes and stuff, and they really like Monster Magnet. So when we played with them, they already had like a Monster Magnet shirt, and I was like, "God damn!" I think it was Ben.
No, oh, okay, Ben Shepherd.
And then, yeah, it was Ben, yeah, Shepherd, and we played with him, and it went great. And then, like a month later, they had called our manager and asked us if we wanted to do an America tour with them.
Oh, okay.
And we had just done our first tour ever. We were in Europe when they asked us, and it was like awesome, you know. So we went and we did that tour with them. It was only about 4 weeks, but by the end of the 4 weeks. You know what happens, like if you're in a high profile tour like that and you're not signed, it gives record companies an opportunity to meet the band face to face without flying anywhere.
Yeah, sure.
You know, so if you go to LA, you know, I was in LA for 3 days for one show, and I met with like seven different record companies. It was just good timing.
Cool.
Yeah, you know, Soundgarden totally hooked us up.
Do you ever run into any of those guys, Matt or Ben?
No, God, I don't know. Ben living in Seattle, I think, either Seattle or L.A. or I think outside of Seattle. I don't know if he's working. Kim, I think, is teaching school.
Is he really? Wow.
I think so, yeah. I think he went and started teaching school. And Chris is the only guy I see every once in a while. I saw him about 4 or 5 years ago. Nice guy.
Yeah, definitely. He seems like a sincere guy. Great.
All those guys were super nice.
Yeah.
They, their whole thing was that they didn't want to be perceived as a rock band. It drove them crazy. And we're like, but you are a rock band. No, we're not. Well, you are. No, you're not. They had the whole 90s rock guilt thing going on.
Right. Which is interesting you bring that up, because I always, back in the 90s, you know, I dug all the stuff that came out of Seattle and all the stuff that was kind of anti-rock star. But, of course, mm-hmm. I grew up on Kiss and Aerosmith, and
even, so did the guys that you liked from Seattle too.
Yeah, and even, you know, some of the 80s metal stuff, I a lot of it I really dug to death. And one thing that was so fun when you guys did that the Space Lord video was when it just kicked Rockstar. You know, it started off so grim, and there was guys like me that were just stood up and was like, yeah, the chicks are back in the video and rock is big again. And that was kind of at the time, kind of a daring stand for you to take. And what made you just dive into the big rock thing?
It was weird because it wasn't as daring as I thought. I couldn't believe that nobody else was doing it. That all came from, we had toured, let's see, we had done how many records? We had done like, you know, 3 or 4 records, two independents and 2 majors. And we're on a major. And sales came in for the second of the major records. And the record company was cool. But I remember one guy saying to me, just like, you know, maybe you want to, you know, like get something that people would like to listen to. You know, not change your style, but more like change your sound, you know? And I was like, you know, I just made one record that was like total squawking, the most annoying record ever made, like Super Judges, like, nice. And then I made this really, really sweet sounding record, Dopes to Infinity. So it's not like I'm losing out on the variety here. I really think it's your guys' fault. He's like, what do you mean? I said, you guys can't sell anything. He's like, what do I have to do? Put tits on everything? I mean,
right.
You know, what do I have to do? Be like a rap guy to fucking sell records? You guys don't know how to sell shit. I got a big fight with him. And he was like, oh, well, you know, it's really not that way. It's just different. When I was like, it's really, really simple as far as I can tell. It's like, you guys don't know how to sell subtlety. That's why rock is dying, because rock has gotten subtle. Rap sells because it's really unsubtle. Rap sells because it's right there. Blah, 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 you know?
Right.
1 and 1 = 2 with a big cock on it.
Yeah.
And so as a joke, I did Power Trip. I was like, I put tits in every song. I put tits all over the cover, money, tits. I went to the guy who did, was he doing all the rap? What was it? Hype Williams.
Right,
I called
up
Hype Williams, who was a big rap director, and asked him to do a Monster Magnet video. And he put me in the direction. He wouldn't do it because he said he didn't do white people. And
right.
I was like, no. And he goes, yeah, but, you know, I'll help you out. He put me on to this other guy, Joseph Kahn. And I just told him, I said, look, we're a rock band, we're a hard rock band. And I started telling him jokes about the cliche and all this stuff. And I said, I just want you just to film your regular rap video, except with us in it. And cool. He goes, yeah, okay, I'll do that. And that's all we did. We just took the model of a rap video.
You put Twiggy in a convertible and went down to Fremont Street, right?
Mm-hmm. He was the homie.
Well, what was he doing there? He's just kind of randomly hanging in the car with Dave.
Yeah, just like, you know, it's just like the rap guys. They always have like some homie like with them, you know, that kind of stupid shit. And it's funny. People loved it.
Yeah.
And it's funny because a couple years later, Kid Rock like made a huge success off that whole thing.
That's true. I never really thought of that, but that's totally true.
White trash guys in you know, doing the rock thing, you know, rock rap thing. But to me, it was just common sense, you know. And whenever you put those things together, it's always going to look like what you and I would imagine rock stars to look like.
Yeah.
You know, because that's all the rap guys were doing.
Totally.
This is being rock stars. They love it. And, you know, the rap guys still come up to me today and like, man, we want to be a rock star. I was like, don't you get it? You guys are a rock star. You're more rock stars than the rock stars are. Really? And I'm like, yeah. Except you don't tour.
Right. Oh, that's true. Totally. Are you now, where are you based at? Are you in Red Bank still? Are you out? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. And I was reading, again, I never trust some of these Wikipedia type of sites, but did you once run a comic book store in Red Bank?
Yeah, I did.
Cool.
Yeah, it was called Fantasy Zone. It was in the mini mall in Red Bank.
Nice. I mean,
yeah,
when you think...
it wasn't my store. I just managed it for a guy.
Oh, okay. Wait, I just throw this name out here. When you think of comic books and you think of Red Bank, you got to think of Kevin Smith. Do you ever run into him?
You know something? I've never run into Kevin Smith. Is that bizarre or what?
That is a little bizarre.
I know. I go to his store. He's got a store, Jay and Bob's Silent Stash. That's where I buy my comics in Red Bank.
Oh, cool. What comics are you reading?
Oh, man. It's like, what comics don't I read? I buy a lot of reprints, hardcovers and stuff, 60s, 50s and 60s books. new books I've been reading, Captain America has been really cool. Marvel and DC have been really cool lately. Good art, good stories.
Captain America's dead now, though, right?
Captain America's, yeah, he's dead. But his book still lives on. Right. It's this weird kind of like Tom Clancy kind of story with lots of good bad guys and stuff. It's not campy at all. In fact, it's more like I say, it's like a Tom Clancy novel or something, except with like cool pictures. It's cool. I love comics. Kevin Smith used to be a customer at the store that I worked in.
Oh, did he? Okay.
That's the only time I ever run into him when he was a customer there. And I didn't realize what was going on until I remember when Clerks came out or something. I had a picture of the director, and I was like, oh, that's a kid that, you know, shopped at the store.
Right, right. Totally.
It's cool.
Cool. Well, I'll let you go. I do want to ask you one question regarding your catalog. When you look back at all the great stuff that you've put out, all the great albums, are there certain ones that stick out more than others?
You know, it kind of like runs into stories for me. Basically, they're like, the albums for me are like a diary of when I was doing it. And I tend to remember all the stuff that went into making it. You know, like where I wrote it, what the conditions were, because there's always like a controlled disaster. I can't think of any one favorite that I had. I mean, the ones that were the biggest pains in the asses seemed to be the best ones.
Really?
The ones that, you know, and the ones that I think were like totally easy and wow, this was really easy, the people don't like as much. So there must be something that's suffering when you do that stuff. I think I had, a revelation for me was doing dopes.
Okay.
Because I really learned how to produce with dopes. You know, I'd learned my lessons from producing the stuff in the past, and then I really moved on to something. And at the end of dopes, I realized that, yeah, you can make an absolutely in-tune record, completely in-tune, vocals and everything, but it still won't be that great because, you know, it just loses a lot of spirit. And that was a great time. I really learned a lot. So when I went back and did Power Trip, I just purposely kind of like turned down the gloss a little bit.
Right, right. Cool. Well, if we could get an ID from you, that would be great. Just,
sure.
You're listening to Talking Metal type of thing.
Yep. Just Talking Metal, right? No podcast in it?
Yeah, just Talking Metal is good.
Okay. Yeah, well, ladies and gentlemen, this is Dave Windorf from Monster Magnet, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
Excellent. Dave, thanks so much for joining us on Talking Metal.
Thank you, man. No problem.
And we're doing a TV show on Fuse now, which is going to air this Friday, the first episode. So we'd love to have you, if it goes to series, which we're not sure yet, but we'd love to have you stop by if indeed we
That's
do go
great.
To series.
Good luck, man. That sounds really, really cool.
Yeah, thanks.
What's going on in the world? Like, I don't even know what metal is anymore. What's metal these days?
You know, on Talking Metal, we cover all things like that kind of fall under hard rock.
Cool.
Heavy metal, you know, even
right.
hard punk. And I mean, there's bands like, you know, Lamb of God, which are, you know, they've done Gigantor and they headlined Ozfest. And I guess they consider themselves pure American metal. You know, they kind of have the Pantera thing going, but they also kind of embrace some of the traditional European metal sounds too. But
right.
I think metal's all over the place. It's something that's totally debated all the time on what is and what is not.
It always was. That's what I was wondering, how it's still going, because I remember, Out on the Road stuff, and when we play, the great thing about Europe is you can play a festival where, I mean, you can play a festival with like Portishead and, you know, fucking Slayer
right.
on the same thing. So I'd be like, oh, so what's going on in your world of music, you know?
Yeah.
And metal, since I was a kid, and you can never get four guys in a room without a fight happening. This is metal. This is false metal. This is shit. This is
right.
great. It's always interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny, like when a band like Kiss first came out, they were calling themselves heavy metal, you know?
Yeah.
And now it's like, if you say that, people are like, oh, Kiss is a metal.
I know.
Never
well,
was.
I remember when Lester Bangs, you know, when Lester, no, no, it wasn't Lester Bangs. It was a guy in Rolling Stone. This is when I was a kid. This shows how old I am. They described, Steppenwolf.
Sure.
As heavy metal, because they put the word heavy metal in the song, in
right.
Born to be Wild.
Absolutely.
And that was 1968 when they mentioned that. And then Lester Bangs, wasn't 68 when I found out about it. I'm not that old, but Lester Bangs, who's a writer for Cream, always called the early hard rock bands heavy metal bands. Right. And that's where I first got it started, and that's where it first got started. And they never called Black Sabbath heavy metal.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And yet now they're known as the founders of the whole thing.
Proto metal, dude.
Yeah. Cool. Well, Dave, thanks so much for joining us. I'm going to get into one of my favorite old Monster Magnet songs, a song called Black Balloon. And we're going to follow that up with a brand new song, Wall of Fire, here on Talking Metal. And we encourage all the Talking Metal listeners to go and buy the new Monster Magnet 4-way Diablo. Dave, thank you.
No problem.
Take care. Bye-bye. Stay in touch.
Hey man, what's your name? I've seen your face always before. You tapped in to a cosmic flame. Cosmic gate I was looking for.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.